Good evening, everyone. So for tonight's design review board meeting, unfortunately, our chair and vice chair, Amy and Tyler, are unable to make the meeting tonight. So for a temporary chair, Carlos has agreed to chair the meeting tonight. So unless there's any objections, we can proceed. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Carlos.
Right. I will call to order the October 21st, 2024 meeting.
I'll repeat it, sorry. I will call to order the October 21st, 2024 meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board, and we'll begin with roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Amanda Bridlow. Carlos Castaneda.
Present.
Supriya Kelkar.
Present.
Shannon Merkel.
Present.
Tyler Smith and Amy Tarse. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. We have reading and approval on, I think, a few meeting minutes, previous meeting minutes. Is that correct, John?
Yes, I think there's three sets of minutes for your review and approval.
Perfect. I took a look at it and I found nothing to be changed or modified. I think that we can approve the minutes as they are. Does anyone else has any comments about that? Okay, so does anyone want to make a motion?
Motion, we approve minutes.
Okay, does anyone want to second the motion? Okay, motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Perfect. Okay, for tonight's agenda, we have a design response conference for the Central Peak project. File number DRB 24-00649. I don't think that there's anything else on the agenda other than this project. We'll begin with that. But before we continue, this is the time for any members of the audience or public that want to speak on any items that are not related to tonight's agenda. John, do we have anyone in the list? Just as a reminder, there will be time during this meeting to for the audience to present any comments about this.
So I think the public comments, I think, are written in regards to the project tonight. So we can move on.
I guess we can proceed then.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's just dive right into this project. It'll be the turn of the presenter.
Staff to go first.
Oh, staff. Sorry, staff, and then the presenter. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Tony Levitt representing the planning department. All right, just a couple housekeeping items. Yes, there is a sheet over there. If people want to speak, we ask that they sign in their name and contact information. That way we can use that for the public comments section. Additionally, we did receive two emails that I forwarded to the design review board, one from Scott Kakuta and one from Debbie Klein that I received today and forwarded to the board. So yes, again, tonight we are here to discuss the Central Peak mixed use project. Katie, I'm blocked on my screen here. I think I blocked on the the actual this screen. Yeah. Just a technical difficulty real quick here. All right. So the goals for tonight's meeting are for the design review board to review, conduct a design response conference. First, you're going to run a review the applicant's response to the DRB's direction from the conceptual design conferences that were held for this project. You also want to review the project for consistency with the design guidelines and provide feedback. As far as the design guidelines are concerned, the DRB reviews the project for compliance with the guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts. Additionally, there are some guidelines and special considerations that apply specifically to the downtown Kirkland area. We will also want to have you have review the project for compliance with any zoning and modification requirements, and finally, to consider any public comments. Again, the DRB's authority is to review the project consistent with the applicable design guidelines, and if needed, also to review any zoning regulations that require DRB approval, including any modifications that the applicant proposes. As far as staff's involvement in the project, we will be reviewing the project for first would be the building permits, which would come after the DRB approval. We'll look at permitted uses, heights, setbacks, rooftop appurtenances, parking, and site access. Additionally, there is a SEPA review that is occurring right now. The focus of that review from our Public Works Department is looking at the traffic impacts of the project. Additionally, in this case, we're also looking at the alley access and design. This includes both the alley that is on the west side of the building and the alley that is on the south side of the building. So those are some SEPA issues that we are concurrently reviewing at this time. As far as the site is concerned, the subject property is around 19,279 square feet, and it currently contains a single-story U.S. Bank building. The property has frontage along Central Way, which is designated as a principal arterial. An unimproved alley exists to the west of the subject property. This currently is part of the Lake and Central parking lot, and an improved alley to the south of the subject property. To the south is, again, Park Lane. So you have a lot of the businesses, the front on there, but they use the alley as the back of house functions. And additionally, you have to the east, you have the, there's a train store that's located there. And then to the north, you have some other mixed use development, including some condo projects that are there. The applicant is proposing to construct a four-story mixed-use project with approximately 26 residential units and around 3,396 square feet of retail space. Parking is proposed within structured parking. There will be one level that will be right at grade for the project, and that will be used for the retail and guest parking. And then there'll be a below-grade parking garage that will be used for the residential parking. Access to the residential parking will be from Central, and access to the retail and guest parking garage will be from the alley to the west of the building. So the first thing we're going to look at is the conceptual design conference, and that was held on July 1st and August 5th of this year. At those meetings, the DRB discussed applicable design guidelines, the requested modification, and the massing options that the applicant presented. Massing option 3 was the preferred option, and the applicant was directed to develop the design further. Some of the key items that the DRB requested at that meeting include for the applicant to provide vertical modulation to add variety and visual relief to the long north and south facades, to submit detailed plans for the central and northwest plazas, to provide public improvement and site features, including landscaping, benches, et cetera, that will enhance the frontage character. To consider the design of the highly visible rooftop And terrace elements, including the use of landscaping in those areas and other pedestrian features. To utilize fenestration patterns and deck placements to introduce human scale elements that will help to reduce the massing of the building. To provide details for the sidewalk design improvements. To consider the design of the south alley facade as it relates to the potential redevelopment of the properties to the south. And finally, to address the treatment of any blank walls on the site with art, mural, or landscaping. So some of the key design guidelines that we're going to look at tonight. First, the first is to deal with the building scale of the project. Some of the key design guidelines include vertical building modulations should be used to add variety to make large buildings appear to be aggregate of smaller buildings, encourage a variety of horizontal modulation techniques to reduce the architectural scale of the building and as visual interest, encourage a combination of architectural building elements to lend the building a human scale. Again, to avoid blank walls near sidewalks, major internal walkways, parks, and pedestrian areas. And finally, some of the key guidelines are to mitigate the intrusive quality of parking garages. So tonight we're going to want the DRB to look at these building scale design guidelines and look at the design that the applicant has presented. And first, some of the questions we want to look at: do the buildings provide enough horizontal and vertical modulation when viewed from key vantages? Do the facades include enough fenestration and architectural building elements? Have blank walls been adequately addressed throughout the project? And finally, there is a portion of the building that cantilevers over into the sidewalk easement, and we'll want to make sure that complies with the applicable design guidelines. As far as pedestrian-oriented elements are concerned, some of the key design guidelines we're going to look at are streets and pathways should enhance the pedestrian experience and find opportunities to provide passive seating areas, cafe seating, green space, and small-scale performance areas, et cetera, and also small public gathering spaces. Awnings or canopies should be required on facades facing pedestrian-oriented streets. Successful pedestrian-oriented plazas are generally located in the sunny areas along a well-traveled pedestrian route. And finally, a key design guideline is plazas must provide plenty of sitting areas and amenities and give people a sense of enclosure and safety. So what we're going to want the DRB to look at tonight are the sidewalks that the applicant is proposing and the overhead weather adequate. And do the proposed plazas that they're showing provide enough sitting areas and amenities? As far as open space and landscaping are concerned, some of the key design guidelines include pedestrian landscape should emphasize the subtle characteristics of the plant materials. The building landscape should use landscaping that complements the building favorable qualities and screens its faults. Landscaping around urban buildings, particularly buildings with blank walls, can reduce scale and add diversity through pattern, color, and form. And finally, all building entries should be well lit. Building facades in the pedestrian areas should provide lighting to walkways and sidewalks through the building, mounted lights, canopies, et cetera. So some of the key questions we're going to want the DRB to look at. How has the applicant adequately addressed landscaping, and are there any changes that are needed there? Are there opportunities, again, for additional landscaping throughout the project, and to provide feedback on the light siting plan? And additionally, they are showing a trash staging area that we'll want to provide some comments on. The final design guideline element that we're going to want to look at are material colors and details. This was something that was not discussed greatly at the conceptual design conference, but we will want to have you provide some feedback to the applicant regarding the proposed materials and colors. Some of the key guidelines include you want to look at providing natural material colors, stuff that fits in obviously with the neighborhood, in consideration of those neighboring developments, And also the use of color to help to reduce some of the visual impacts to the upper levels. Additionally, some of the other elements that we're going to look at for this project include some of the key zoning regulations that either require DRB approval or the applicant can propose modifications as part of the process. So the first one we're going to look at is the street level depth requirement. So the zoning code requires uses along the street level to have a minimum depth of 20 feet and an average depth of 30 feet. As measured from the facade of the building. The DRB may approve a minor reduction in the depth requirements if the applicant can demonstrate that the requirement is not feasible given the configuration of existing or proposed improvements and the design of the retail frontage will maximize visual interest. In this case, the applicant is requesting a minor reduction in the required average depth requirements. The request is a reduction from 30 feet to an average of 25 feet. The applicant notes in their request as part of the package that was submitted or was sent to you that the relative narrowness of the lot, 83 feet after the dedication of public easements, and the need to provide on-site parking are the two main reasons for the requested street level depth reduction. So that's one key element that we're going to want to have you provide some feedback on tonight. The second element is the residential location of the residential lobby. So the code says that residential lobbies typically are not allowed on the ground floor. However, there is a provision that states that the lobbies for residential uses may be allowed within the street level retail space subject to applicable design guidelines. The applicable design guidelines state that lobbies for residential use may be allowed within the required retail storefront space, provided the street frontage of the lobby is limited relative to the property's overall retail frontage, and the storefront design of the lobby provides continuity to the retail character of the site and their overall street. This was something that the applicant presented at the conceptual design conference, and the DRB reviewed the proposed lobby and was accepting the preliminary design. The DRB did request that the applicant submit a final design as part of this submittal. Again, the DRB will need to review the final design and ensure its compliance with applicable design guidelines. The third zoning element that the applicant is looking for approval for is the rooftop common room. So there is a provision that allows the a rooftop common room to be located on, obviously, the roof of the building. This would be accessible to all residents of the project. And the code states the applicants, the DRB may approve the common room if the applicant submits the following. They show that the views from the adjoining properties will not be significantly blocked by the rooftop common room. The location and orientation of the rooftop common room is such that visibility of the room from adjoining properties and streets will be minimized. They need to also provide at least 75% glazing on the between 2 and 7 feet above floor level around the common room. And the common room is architecturally integrated into building design. Additionally, there are some design requirements for the project as far as the height. So the height for cannot exceed 15 feet or the height of the story immediately below the common room, whichever is less. So in this case, the level below the common room is 10 feet, 10 inches. The area of the common room does not exceed 500 square feet or 10% of the building footprint, whichever is less. In this case, it would be the 500 square feet. It is set back equal distance from the roof edge of the height of the building. And finally, that they provide a public benefit. In this case, there's a list of three public benefits. In this case, they're providing a green roof that is approximately 2,000 square feet. Staff has done a preliminary review of the proposal and has determined that the proposed rooftop common room meets the dimensional requirements. The common room meets the transparency requirements. They are providing a green roof that to offset the requirements. And additionally, they have submitted a view analysis that shows impacts of the rooftop common room, and there are no additional impacts beyond what is already permitted on the roof of the building, which includes the elevator and stair overruns that are on the roof to access the rooftop amenity space, which is permitted by the zoning code. And the final reduction or request is a upper story setback reduction. So the code requires that for structures along Central Way, the upper story setback is 30 feet for any portion of the structure that exceeds 41 feet. The design includes some square footage that extends 5 feet into the required upper story setback. This is on the residential floor level, and it's approximately 1,029 square feet. The code states that the DRB is authorized to allow a reduction of the required upper story setback by no more than 5 feet, subject to the following requirements. Each square foot of additional building area proposed within the setback is offset with an additional square foot of public open space at the street level. The public open space is located along the sidewalk frontage and is not covered by buildings. For the purpose of calculating the offsetting language, along Central, the open space includes the second and third story as long as that is not covered. And finally, the design and location are consistent with the applicable design guidelines. So staff has looked at the proposed reduction, and this was actually something that was brought up during the conceptual design conference, and the DRB was supportive of this, subject to making sure that the applicant met those requirements. So they have submitted plans showing compliance with those requirements. And finally, the last item is actually sidewalk and overhead protection. So as part of the DRB's approval, they need to look at the design of the sidewalks and approve that as part of the design response conference. So in this case, Central Way is designated as pedestrian-oriented street. The requirement is that the sidewalk along Central be a minimum width of 12 feet with an average of 13 feet. A portion of the sidewalk is allowed to be in a public easement, provided the minimum of 5 feet from the curb shall be retained as a public right-of-way and not be an easement. So in this case, there is an easement for a portion of the sidewalk. So again, the final design will need to be reviewed by the DRB. The Public Works Department has reviewed the design and it complies with their requirements. And the other elements that we're going to have you look at is overhead weather protection. So the code requires at least 80% of the frontage of the subject property be protected, and that the overhead weather protection be composed of awnings, marquees, canopies, building overhangs, cover porches, recess entries, or other similar features. So again, the overhead weather protection plan will need to be reviewed by the DRB. So again, tonight, the action we're going to want the DRB to provide is to provide feedback on the applicable design guidelines, provide feedback on the design topics that I just went over, consider any public comments, and after consideration of all those things, would be to either approve the project or would be to continue the project to a future meeting to address any requested items that the DRB feels needs to be addressed. With that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Board members, do you have any questions for Tony? Randall?
I want to reserve the right to go back and ask some questions. I think I will, but
yeah,
want to see what
the applicant provides. Yeah, we can definitely address any questions.
I have one question for you, sure. Tony. Could you just go back to the slide where you were showing the requirements for plazas?
For the what? I'm sorry?
For plazas. Could you go back to the slide that talks about the requirements for public plazas? Yeah.
That's okay, this upper step back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last paragraph says located along sidewalks frontage and not covered by buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate more on what that means, covered by buildings? Does that mean that the space above the plaza cannot be utilized by any building? Is it just exclusively for awnings and canopies?
So this would be, yeah, I mean, so this would be for the plaza that is being built to offset that that setback reduction. So in this case, the applicant is proposing that central plaza to account for that. So there could be some, I would assume that there could be awnings in that area to kind of help. I don't know if those are functionally, that's going to be how they're going to design that. But there could be some awnings, but it basically, for example, that the northwest corner, the plaza there, that does have building that covers a portion of that. So that can't be counted to offset this reduction.
Okay. So I just want to clarify, because I think I was reading the memo last weekend, and there's a part that says open to sky except where overhead weather protection is provided. So does that mean that plazas, public plazas, should be open to sky unless the applicants provide overhead weather protection, right? Which would be some sort of canopy awning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Clarification on that. When you talk about awning or canopy, mm-hmm. across the front of it should be 80% of the facade. Is this open plaza removed out of that 80% or part of that 80%?
No, I think it would be part of that. I think it would be part of that 80%. I think that the main key element is that it can't be under building. Like okay. You can't have a projection of the building over the plaza. It needs to be open to the sky. And I think that the awnings, I'll clarify it. I'll look at the code, make sure that okay. that's the case. But I think the awning could extend into that. So,
thank you, Tony.
Especially if you have multiple entrances there. So,
thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Now it will be the turn of the applicant.
Hey, good evening. I'm Nick Tosti. I'm a principal of the Cordillera Group. Cordillera Group is the developer for the Central Peak project. And just to reintroduce ourselves for those that are new, we're a Kirkland developer. We've been working in the city of Kirkland for almost 15 years together as a group. Our company, the Cordillera Group, was constituted in 2019. So under that name, it's been about 4 years. And tonight we're talking about the 26 unit condominium, mixed use condominium building that Tony introduced. And our lead consultant on the project is Bayless Architecture. So I'll turn it over to Meredith with Bayless to talk about the project.
Hey, good evening. My name is Meredith Everest and I'm with Bayless Architects. And presenting today with my team, Juan Garcini, Rick Maxim, who's online, and Kristen with Brumbaugh and Associates, the landscape designer. Sorry, gonna go to the beginning here. Okay, so I thought I would start with just a really brief overview of the recap from the conceptual design conference. So the board supported our preferred option, and this option included a strong horizontal expression which grounds the building and reduces the mass and the apparent scale of the building. A vertical element introduced at the building entry breaks the mass and provides visual relief to the facade. And a visually distinctive roof line further emphasizes the horizontality. The board did encourage activation of the pedestrian realm, and we addressed this with the design of a northwest plaza and a central plaza, both of them sized for circulation and seating and connected to each other along the storefront with additional seating and landscape planters. We were guided to consider treatment of the blank wall that would occur at the parking level at the east facade. We were also guided to carefully consider the alley facade. The board encouraged consideration of the livability of the units on the alley for both this current development and for the future development to the south, which will likely include residential units as well. So basically to consider the alley as more than just a utility space. We were guided to approach the rooftop design as a fifth element of the building, since it may be visible from the adjacent properties. So this is a view of the design, and we developed the building design to maintain that horizontal modulation, grounding the building with a strong base. The horizontality is reinforced with a horizontal trim element at the floor lines, the upper floor step back, and also the peaked roof line feature. We're proposing kind of a playful fenestration pattern combined with the recessed decks. Those communicate the residential nature of the building and support the human scale. For modulation and the pedestrian-oriented elements, we're proposing highly transparent storefront with the glazing that occurs between 2 feet above the sidewalk grade to 12 feet or more above the sidewalk. We're proposing 7 foot deep glass canopies to provide the pedestrian covering along Central Way. We have 12-foot minimum and 13-foot average width sidewalks to accommodate a movement zone and an activity zone that would have seating and landscaping. And we have our Northwest Plaza, and actually this, the Northwest Plaza and the West Facade are designed to enhance the connection to Lake Street, basically to draw the eye from Lake Street for pedestrians and draw them to the site. The Northwest Plaza, this one is a double height space. It is covered, so a little bit protected from the elements, making it more enjoyable for year-round use. This plaza does engage directly with the primary retail and offers space, space for seating to connect to that retail. Something to note as a reminder for this site, there is about 12 inch of grade change from the east to the west. So it's a little, it's 12 inches higher on the west and then slopes down. So at this particular plaza, we're proposing to basically absorb that 12 inches. So the step occurs at this plaza. We'll see in a moment that the central plaza is at grade, and which is the one that's open to the sky. But in this case, we have a ramp that would connect the sidewalk to the plaza. Looking at the central plaza, again, this one is open to the sky. We do have the covering at the entry, a canopy covering, but the building, there's no building elements above it. And here we are proposing the area for seating. It also directly connects to the retail space. The primary, the larger canopy is intended for the retail entry, and then the smaller canopy awning is intended for the residential use only. So the door on the left-hand side. For the blank wall treatment, what we are proposing here is along the alley, we would have a vertical oriented board formed concrete, or I should say on the west end of the alley as it turns, the west facade, as it turns to the alley, we would have a stone pattern, the same thing that we're showing on the front of the building and the west side of the building. And then that would transition to a board formed concrete that you see a little bit further on in the image. And in that concrete, what we're proposing is that we'd have vertical punctuations in the facade. And so, and those punctuations are placed at a, you know, kind of a playful but regular pattern. They would not only give a little bit more texture to that facade, but it also allows illumination from the inside of the garage to spill out onto the alley, alleyway. And as we wrap the building to the east, we have a similar vertical fenestration pattern, but instead of those being openings, they would be a panel inlay. And looking again at the alley and looking more directly at the residential levels, what we're proposing here is that we basically accentuate these vertical elements and introduce a very subtle color change to give some visual interest and a little bit of, again, a playful character there, and as well as kind of an interesting window pattern and kind of unexpected window pattern that we're proposing here. For the West Alley, the building configuration there basically addresses the site configuration. So we have that curved element around the corner, and that along with the horizontal bands at the floor lines and the other bays that project in and out gives this elevation some visual interest. And we're also proposing at the garage area to continue that board Ford concrete into the garage and provide some kind of a lighting element there that announces the vehicle entry. For the street level lighting, we're proposing a combination of lighting sources. We're proposing a square shaped or rectangular shaped decorative pendant at that Northwest Plaza. This would suspend from that soffit above to kind of bring that space down and make it more visually interesting. Along the central way frontage where we have storefront and then columns, at the column locations, we're proposing the decorative sconces that have an up and down light. At the garage entries, we're proposing some visually interesting ideas there, and we have some step lights and some entry lights along the alley and the other areas of the facade. We are proposing an architectural feature for the primary retail entry. We're proposing this linear illumination that would travel up the building and across the canopy. And so for the fifth element, which is the rooftop, we'll get into this a bit more with the landscaping, but I wanted to point out the metal roof panels, the extensive green roof area. We have our common roof area on the top floor. At the terraced areas, we're proposing at the terraced areas and all of the recessed deck areas, we're proposing a glass railings with a metal frame. And I will pass it on to the landscape architect to share. Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. Sorry. just highlighting the lighting at the rooftop and the terraces. So the terraced area would have lighting that is controlled by the unit owner. So it's a simple lighting system. For the common area, we have a combination of some step lights, some wall packs, and then we are proposing some festival lighting in one of the primary gathering spaces. And then landscape.
Good evening. So, pardon me. So starting from west, moving east along the streetscape, the first element that pedestrians will encounter is a new planter strip. We're proposing an additional planter at the edge of that parking lot there to provide a buffer and to soften that experience as you walk along the sidewalk and to just basically soften that parking lot from the sidewalk. It will also help frame this entry as you come to the northwest corner. Is there a pointer on this, Myrna? Okay, no pointer. So as you come to the northwest corner of the building and the plaza there, there's access into that space via a ramp and a couple of steps down. Meredith mentioned that 12-inch drop there. There's a planter that's going to have a lush tapestry of plant materials utilizing pollinator plants and blooming plants and to provide some seasonal color that will take the sunny conditions at that edge. It's also a really unique space because it is under the building, so it's almost like an outdoor room, if you will. We think that's going to be a great space for the building. As you move along the sidewalk, there are proposed street trees. We have four of them. Two of them are at the center that flank the proposed pedestrian crossing. Those trees along the sidewalk will be in cutouts, either tree grates or tree wells. We're working through that with Public Works. The pedestrian crossing will be flanked with low understory so that we maintain the visibility across the street for pedestrians and vehicles, but also we want to provide a little bit of seasonal color and some interest in that to enhance that streetscape experience for pedestrians. And then along the retail frontage itself, there's places for tables and chairs and seating and planters, elements to really enhance that experience as you move down the sidewalk and help make that feel like a much more pedestrian scale, friendly, inviting environment. At the lobby that's, at the plaza that's in front of the lobby, there's a residential lobby there. There's also access to the retail lobby. We have planters with small stature trees in those. We're proposing vine maples because they'll take the conditions on the north side of that building and provide a really nice lacy canopy. We don't want anything too dense that's going to create a lot more shade, but we do like what that provides in terms of landscape character. Again, plant materials that'll be seasonal in color will provide interest and have native qualities and drought tolerance and variety and texture and color. We also have seating in that location for folks to gather and spend time. Then, okay, next slide. Just some character imagery to depict some of the materials that we're proposing. The plaza benches utilize wood and they have metal panels so that we can pick up the warmth in that wood material and also utilize the end panels and the metal to accent and contrast with the building. The paving contrast that we're proposing along the sidewalk, there's a zone under the awnings. That location we're suggesting has a slight textural difference from the rest of the public sidewalk to give a little bit more interest. And then there's just examples of the metal planters and retail furniture. Plant material, plant palette, the street trees right now, they're being proposed as a honey locust, which is from the pre-approved street tree list for the city of Kirkland in this location, utilized for a narrower frontage. They're also already found along Central Avenue in this location, and they're doing pretty well, so we're proposing those. I mentioned the vine maples. The rest of the plant materials are really, again, a combination of texture and bloom and seasonal interest so that we can get something happening in this landscape throughout the year. The rooftop, as Meredith mentioned, there's the large terrace spaces that are identified by number one. Those will have pavers, and there's ample space there for residents to put out furniture and planting and so forth. The roof itself is, we think, going to be a great space and amenity. There's the roof lounge that Meredith mentioned, identified with the number six. Off of that, we have a formal dining and patio space that will have grill, an outdoor grill, has room for furniture, large dining table, and a variety of other seating with catenary lighting over the top. That'll be down lighting, so it won't be casting light sideways for residents across the street and so forth. We've got an overlook deck, and then that is beyond that is the green roof. And this is really created so that we're preserving views from the pedestrian spaces off of out beyond the building. And also it's creating a progression in the height of that landscape. The space around the pedestrian patio is intended to be a little bit higher and nestle in that space a little bit more, deeper soils and more variety in the plant material. The green roof itself will be a combination of sedum roof with allium and some other accent plants to get a little bit of variety and height and maybe some patterning in that, give it some more interest. And last but not least, there's a small pet area behind the roof, lounge space. And again, just some character imagery to give you an idea. Large banquet table element, we think would be a nice, nice way to create some community at that roof deck. We've got the grills. And then the middle photo at the top is just to give you an idea of character and some of the plant materials that will be used in that location.
Okay, so I was going to touch base on the exterior building materials. If we would focus on the street level first, what we're illustrating there, the soft light brown color, is an engineered stone panel. These panels would be 12 inches high by 24 inches wide, or up to 48 inches wide. There might be some variation as we turn the corners. And they come with a slightly textured finish. If you're looking at the material board, it's the material on the top left-hand corner. Also on the storefront, we would have the clear glass transparent storefront system, and that would come with a black frame. We're proposing below the storefront that would be a black stained concrete sill. The canopies would be glass with metal frame. And on the east facade that you see there, that would be, like I mentioned earlier, the board formed concrete in a vertical orientation. Taking a look at the residential levels, the primary field color that we're proposing there is a product called, it's basically also an engineered stone, but what we're proposing, it would have a more smooth finish, not as textured as what you'd have at the base. They call it a sintered stone. And that what we're proposing is that it would be kind of a variegated color pattern, also oriented in a linear vertical orientation, but the variegation comes both in the size of the panel and the color of the panel. The dark accents that you see around the windows, that would be a cementitious ceramic clad product. On the material board, it's the lower right-hand corner. It's the kind of striated textured panel. And that's all of the dark areas that you see in the image would be that, that material. At the floor lines, what we're proposing there, again, is a break metal shape. It's a light gray tone that you see kind of middle portion of the material board. And in general, all of the soffit areas, whether it's at the plaza or all of the overhangs that you would see in the recessed deck areas, that would be a composite panel soffit material. And that's represented with the soft brown color, approximately mid-bottom portion of the material board. Looking at the alley side residential, as I mentioned earlier, we envision that those vertical bays would have a slightly different color, a little playful color. What we're proposing there is the cementitious clad panel, and that would be in the color palette that you see next to the black striated element. So we're proposing a blue shade, an olive green shade, and a grayish color, and a beige color. For the standing seam, we're also proposing a grayish color, the standing seam metal roof. And I think I've covered it. We do have a 3D model that we would like to share with you. And then we will be available for any questions, but we'll see if we can navigate this 3D view.
Hello, my name is Rick Max, and I'm with Bayless Architects as well. And I have a model to share, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. Some work. Okay, does everyone see that now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So this is a model of the project that I'm going to sort of spin around so we can look at the different elevations in perspective. So relatively new at this, so bear with me. I'll try to keep it as smooth as I can. We're on the west side of the building now. This is at the parking area. You see the alley to the right in Central Way. It's to your left. I'm getting up to the northwest corner here, and as you can see the Northwest Plaza there is in the middle of the screen. Now we're going down the Central Way elevation. You can see the vertical element where we have our retail and residential entry. And now we're at the northeast corner of the building. As you go along the east wall of the building, is facing the train store. And we are looking down the alley facing west. The rooftops of the parking businesses. That's the alley. So, we are seeing the southwest corner of the building. You're down the alley looking east. back to where we started.
I have a quick question. As you're going through this, and we look at the representation of the buildings on the north side of the street of Central Way, are those a pretty accurate depiction in scale of this building as to what the scale and the height of those buildings are?
Go ahead, Rick. Well, I was just going to say that we've approximated the heights of all the surrounding buildings. So they're not exact, but they're close to.
So basically, you're just saying relatively close, not exact. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's not based on a survey. It was based on us extracting information from online materials, Google Maps, etc. So we're available for any questions.
Could you take us up on the roof? Is that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rick. As Meredith mentioned, now this will be the time for the board to make any questions to the applicant regarding this project. Or members would like to start. Supriya, go ahead.
Can we look at that Northwest Plaza plan?
Sure.
Yeah, so it looks like this is also an access for the pedestrian route coming out of the garage. So if you're parking in the garage, that's how you come out.
That's correct, yes.
And there are steps that come onto Central Way and a ramp.
Yes, in fact, we were just debating that. We've proposed originally the steps and the ramp just to make it easier for pedestrian access, but we're also considering eliminating the steps and just proposing the ramp.
Yeah, because I was looking at the 3D and it just had a planter, right?
Yep.
What is the width of that seating area? Because when I look at the proportion, if your ramp is, say, 5 feet wide, that looks maybe eight. Doesn't look very wide.
Yeah, they were about 10 feet of that paved area and then a 4 foot wide ramp.
Ramp's 4 foot. Okay.
Yeah, and about 2 feet for that planter.
Yeah, you might think about if there is actually enough seating, if you actually have a pathway through there. There might not be enough seating area left to call it a plaza. Yeah, you might just have those skinny seating areas if that is supposed to work like a plaza. Okay, so that was one question. And
yeah, what we did also on that plaza, because we originally had the doorway into that retail kind of centered in that area. So we've shifted the door to the south, allowing for, yes, it would be a small seating area, but it would still activate that plaza. And, you know, as you pointed out, we would likely, or we're leaning toward having some kind of landscape planter that would keep the circulation to the western side.
Yeah.
And allow that active zone next to the building.
Thank you. That was my main question. And I think a lot of my questions got answered in your presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Supriya. Shannon?
I don't have questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Randall?
Yeah, a bunch of them. I'd like to, we'll start on first floor, work our way up. But as we look at this retail space, or as we look at the frontage coming across the front of the building, as we go to the far east side, you've got a retail suite there, a small retail suite that I'm not sure, 800, 900 square feet or something like that, that comes directly out onto the sidewalk. And so there's no ramps, nothing. It's right off the sidewalk. Then you get to the larger retail space and you come off of that residential lobby area and you've got an entrance into that retail space that I'll call at grade. It's at the sidewalk grade and going through. But then we hit this last time when you presented, as we're headed west, we're gaining elevation. And so you've got the majority of the retail space across there, essentially one entrance. Let's hold on that northwest side, but you've got one entrance into that retail space that is at grade at the sidewalk. And then as you're coming up the sidewalk, you don't have the ability to cut this retail space up to smaller sections that go in that come right off the sidewalk. So as you look at downtown Kirkland, you look at the size of the different businesses that are there, and I doubt if they're going to get larger, it's going to be probably smaller type things. You've really set yourself up for a retail that is, what, 3,200 square feet or something like that in that particular area. And so I'm just wondering on that since you don't have the ability to come off the sidewalk from the essential residential lobby all the way to the west side, you get to the plaza on the west and you got a ramp coming down one direction, you got a ramp coming down the other direction. It's a ramp solution and that's it. It really is not a plaza, my opinion. And so what I'm looking at on that is that wouldn't you be better off putting the ramp inside the suite and coming off of the parking garage flat and coming off of the street flat, and then you've got that alleyway all along there, where then I think it answers your question that it actually gives some usable seating area, because it really doesn't look that usable. And so, and I know the idea of this corner is to deconstruct the corner as it goes into the rest of downtown Kirkland. We aren't quite sure what the city will ever do with the parking lot. If it stays a parking lot, becomes a sculpture garden, whatever it may be. But we don't want this corner to end up like the northeast corner, where it's just truncated and comes squared in, because you've got a zero lot line buildings that's going to come up against you eventually. I mean, this whole downtown area is going to be refashioned, and this just happens to be one of the first projects into the into this block. And so as I look at that, I really like that deconstruction. I like that west elevation, the way that it curves and goes back up the alley and that type of thing. But that corner plaza on the northwest side isn't very functional. And so my question would be is put one ramp in on the interior, take the other two out and get flat surface or something like that. Just something to think about as we look at that.
Can I comment on that?
Because you can't, because I'm looking at it as I was looking at it saying, okay, let's take the column lines and cut that back and say, those are your individual retail suites. How do you get into them? Mm-hmm. They're on a slope and it's dropping down behind it. So you've really kind of set yourself up for one suite, one retail suite, and that's it. And so I guess trying to capture and maximize that as and really looking at that pedestrian way across the front.
Can I address your comment?
Sure.
Yes, so we did explore such a variety of things with the building. We explored moving the retail level up, which compromises the central plaza. We did look at internal ramps, and then that had a pretty significant impact on the retail space and made that kind of a little bit choppy and not as retail friendly, I'll say. Because we're also, with this concept, we're exploring or proposing the connection from the parking area to that northwest plaza. And it does become more of a circulation pathway. So we were starting to recognize that. But as we were exploring other alternatives, we still landed on this one as still the ideal solution for having a little bit of seating and a little bit of circulation. It has the accessibility. It has a lot of different elements that were successful compared to the other varieties that we studied.
What if you were to leave the ramp coming in from the parking lot and you're landscaping along the alleyway? Because this alleyway with the city parking lot right next to it is going to become a thoroughfare. It's going to be, you come down in front of this building, you're going to turn and go to the south to get to Park Lane. You're going to cut across the parking lot. You're going to go down to the corner. Again, it's just sitting watching this corner. And so I'm looking at that and saying, okay, isn't there a way that you can combine those two ramps to make that work? Yeah, it doesn't come directly off the street, but the interaction of that plaza and enough seating and enough interaction gives you, you know, because the whole idea is to get some interaction sitting there and people sitting there, people enjoying it, because that's going to be the sunny portion. Your front entry retail lobby is not going to get a whole lot of sun anytime during the year. And so it's going to be dark and most of the time. And so I'm just looking at it, that lighting up that corner, but we'll leave that at that point now. As you go over to the east side and the east elevation, you've got two balcony shafts essentially going up the east side. What happens when a zero lot line building comes up to that? It just stays a shaft? Is that
it becomes a light well, essentially.
Three-story light well on one and two-story on the other. Okay. I want to make sure that people look at that, because this isn't done in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Because the buildings that are along Park Lane, I mean, over the next 30 years, they'll be refashioned, rebuilt. There'll be a lot of things happening down here. And so this building needs to look at that and say, how does it fit into that fabric and how does that work? Now, as we move to the roof, where you've got the sloped roofs coming in, and that, where in the calculation on the code where we were looking at that saying that there was 10 foot 10 inches of height for that top activity room and that type of thing. Is that from the average deck of the roof, or is it from the tip of that parapet of those sloped roofs going up? Because my understanding is that slope goes up, what, about 5 feet?
Mm-hmm. Or it's by the top of the slope is 5 feet above the maximum height, and it's a 312 pitch.
But of the roof deck. I'm trying to get a visual on the roof deck, because okay. if it's coming up above the roof deck,
it is.
Honestly, how much of this cupola on top of this building actually is exposed? If you're 10 foot 10 plus whatever parapet code will allow you,
I see.
And you got 5 foot about already covered, definitely from the ground, you aren't going to see it. Now, the question is what do you see from the north side of the street? And what does that neighborhood and that type of thing, because yes, this is going to impact their view, it's going to impact what is happening, but we need to, I'm just trying to get my arms around that as to really what are they going to be seeing.
Mm-hmm. And we do have an illustration in the packet. I don't recall the page number, but we do have a vantage point from the north looking south, which shows that the common room area, as well as the elevator penthouse and the stair penthouse.
Could you try and find a page number on that?
John, can we see that on screen for the audience? A reference to the slide that the applicant?
Yeah, so I think it's slide page 12.
Can you put it on the screen?
Yes, that's right, page 12.
Find the meeting packet page. Let's see. So it's e-package 38 of the packet. E-page 38. Did you guys have that in the presentation packet?
Not. I do have it in the. It was on the.
Oh, okay.
The Central Peak DRC submittal, I believe. This one timed out. So, yeah.
This is my fault. I don't know why this. Then just go back. Right there.
There we go.
Yeah, so if you look at the image number one, the perspective view from Marina Heights, that's what we anticipate will be the relationship of the common room, which is highlighted in yellow.
Okay, when we talk about the sloped roof, where does the 5 foot start? We know where it ends. Mm-hmm. It goes up and it ends, but where does your calculation of the 5 foot start? As you look at this elevation, you've got a dark eyebrow going across mm-hmm. it, or brow. Is it at the bottom of that brow up to that is your 5 foot number?
Yeah, I can't quite zoom into image number four on the screen, which may actually even have a dimension there. I can't quite see it. Oops.
If you look at image four, it appears that you're showing the 10, maybe. When I blow it up, it's kind of hard to see, but you've got, as you look at image four and you come up from the sidewalk, you come up and then you got the, on top of third floor where it switches back and goes to the fourth floor and then up. You see the roof slope, and then you come back behind that and you've got a dimension. There's a dimension there. That is that the 10-10 dimension, or what is that dimension?
My name is Juan Garcini with Bayless Architects. And to answer your question is, the peak is at 5 feet. When we slope down, we are about 8 to 10 inches above the roof membrane. So the slope roof goes down, then it's a little step, and then go flat.
Okay. I guess as I look at this, and I look at the you got the elevator override, you got the stairwell, mm-hmm. top, and then you've got the activity rooms in this. Mm-hmm. For some reason, proportionally, they seem taller.
Yes, the elevator is taller because of the overrun that we need to, for the cab.
I understand that one, but when you get to the activity room, it just all seems to be proportionally tall.
Well, the interior of the community room, we are talking about 9 feet, and then, the roof assembly. The parapet is really shallow, is 6 inches only, so trying to reduce the height of the community room. But yes, we are talking about 10 feet, 6 inches, something like that. That's the height of the community room.
Okay.
And the elevator instead, well, the elevator is about 15 feet because of the overrun.
Yeah. I think I've kind of driven at that one. And I think I've got as much information as I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So.
I think you're, if I understand your original question, the height from the peak to the top of the common room is approximately 5 feet. So okay. Yes, the peak is approximately 5 feet. And then
I look at it, if you look at perspective two of those two perspectives, and you come off of essentially that 5 foot peak.
Fish 12.
It all looks a little bit too tall.
What you're seeing in perspective two, you can't really even see the common room from this perspective. So what you're seeing there is the stair, and that taller element is the elevator penthouse.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. But if that dark line is 5 feet, you're 5, 10, 15 feet above that, to where it should start 5 foot below that.
Correct. It does.
So it just looks out of proportion. Mm-hmm. Something about it doesn't quite look right, and I'm a little concerned about that appendage up mm-hmm. there. As you look at it now, as you look at the rooftop, I do have to admit, give you a lot of plus to going to the green roof, because when you look at what roof you're getting here. Then you go over and you look at what is it, Vila, and the condos looking down onto that roof. I don't know what color they ended up on that roof, but whether it ended up white or black, but it's just a standard white or black roof. And so this is, you're really, as coming in on the view of that, that that's a plus. So the question on trash enclosure and trash work. You've got a trash chute through the interior of the building for the residents that go down into the trash room. And have you reasonably calculated the amount of trash containers you need in there? I'll bring up the specific point. If you look at the Vila project that we approved a couple years ago, and you come down that alleyway, there was discussion as to how many trash containers could go into their rooms that they opened and all this type of thing. They don't close the doors in their trash container rooms, and the trash containers stick out into the alley. Not what we're looking for. And so I would suggest if you drive down that alley, that's on our side, that's not what we're looking for. This shows that you have a door that comes down, and fortunately you got the trash chute coming down to it internally, so it should stay out of the view, because that alley is going to be tight anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you look at that alley next to Vila coming up to the retirement center and that, and you've got residences looking onto it, we just don't want your trash cans sitting out in the alley. So you need to make sure that your volumes are correct and you're not moving trash out in there. Now your retail is in the corner right there, but that's all buried back inside the building and is enclosed. So that's fine. So that's just a comment that I'm definitely looking for is that we don't have that same issue that we have over at Vila. Several of the board members here were on that particular project, and I remember talking about it, and we were assured that no, there wouldn't be any trash cans or trash deals out in the alley, and they are. So I'm not sure what we can do about it, but go from there. Question on your color palette. Okay, you're the color experts. I'm not. My wife will attest to that. You have a very subdued color palette. It's very, which can be a powerful statement within its own. And I'm not saying one way or the other. Could you just give us background as to why you picked this particular color palette and how you looked at that?
Sure. Rick, would you want to address this one, or would you like me to?
I could say just a couple things about the colors. I think one of the things you're trying to achieve with the color is some variation, and try to get away from a monochromatic kind of a appearance. And so that's kind of the reason for having these three similar colors that are mixed together in random sort of widths. So to give some more texture and interest to what would normally be just a single color. So it's a reserved, refined palette, that's kind of the intent, especially in the north side, along with this the variation in color. And on the south side, we're trying to add a little more color with these four different elements in the building. So that's where we're trying to add a little more color.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. We'll definitely have discussion on that, and that. But I'm just kind of curious of how you arrived at it, and that. And I have my own opinion of that, but we'll go on that our discussion. I think that's it for right now.
Thank you, Randall. Have a few questions, if you don't mind, Meredith. Could you talk about the public improvements and site features and be very specific about what you guys are proposing and where? Is it possible that we can see it on the screen, this site plan? And Meredith, feel free to tell them what the slide you want to be shown.
Well, should I choose?
Yeah.
Out of here.
Original.
The packet is fine. Sure. Yeah, this one is just fine. So, yeah, our emphasis really was on the plaza spaces to provide those areas as spaces that are welcoming, that are enhancing both really the street frontage in general, and then alongside of the plazas or between the plazas, in the space that we've dedicated to the right-of-way, essentially, is where we would have the activity zone. So in our 12-foot minimum, 13-foot average sidewalk depth, we have the space for the movement as well as the 5 feet plus or minus for seating. And in our plaza areas, those, again, we have the intention is that those draw in and are kind of barrier-free elements for public to enjoy.
Do you have a plan identifying exactly, excluding the plaza, the other site improvements?
Are you referring to the sidewalk dedications?
Well, I guess that I'll leave it up to you on what the public improvements and site features are bringing.
Oops.
Excluding the plaza.
Yeah, I would say the alley dedication to the west, that's a 4 foot alley dedication. We have a 2 foot alley dedication to the south, as well as the sidewalk easement to the north.
And which is the improvement here? How would you define that as an improvement?
I guess I would define the alley, especially as an improvement, you know, which is right now it's a closed grid. So as part of the development, we're providing some additional space in order to make that alley grid work. Because right now there's a lot of complexities and people are using the site in general to access the south alley. So helping to open that alley, I think, is one of the significant givebacks that we feel the project is giving.
And for the others, and again, excluding the plaza, what else? Are you guys?
So besides the alley?
Yeah.
I would say that those were the primary elements that are having a notable impact on the development.
Okay. Talking about weather protection, do you have any details that show these items?
We do have actually the rendered view.
Do you have sections that specify the width of the canopies across the sidewalk?
We do have, let's see, in our section, I believe we have a dimension.
Well, on page 32.
I don't know if it says there, but it is a 7-foot depth.
And can we just see it in the screen? Is that possible?
Yeah, is okay, thank you. Yes, there's an example of what we're proposing.
Okay, so all the
item number 8.
Yeah, thank you. All the canopies are 7-0, basically 7 feet.
The ones that are along the front edge of Central Way, the entry canopy that's in the recess plaza, that one will have a different depth.
Okay, and I see that in front of retail, some renderings have chairs and tables, some other have planters. Are these spaces that are in front of retail going to be assigned for the tenants specifically, or are they going to be intended for public use?
My understanding is that they're intended for public use. I imagine the tenants will, if it's a restaurant, for example, they may use that for the restaurant use. Especially in the plaza areas, but I don't know with certainty about that. Okay, no answer for that.
So those are for public use then?
That's my understanding is yes, that's the goal, is that it is inviting passersby to sit and enjoy. But as far as the programming for the retail space, that is still to be determined.
Okay, just want to remind you that I guess that the KCC requires 5 feet of weather protection for walkways along opening frontages. Do you have any calculations demonstrating that you are providing a minimum of 80% of building frontage to be covered by canopies?
No, we don't have a calculation for that, but we certainly will provide that.
Okay.
Yeah. The canopies, like I said, we have not only the canopies, but we do have some elements of the building that overhang.
Mm-hmm.
So between those, without the calculation, I'm confident that we have at least 80%, but we certainly will do the calculation to confirm.
Okay. Going back to the comment that Randall made about trash, could you show us on the screen the trash staging area and what's the design of it?
So the trash staging area is this enclosed room that you, let's see. Let me see if I find a plan. I'm not sure how to use the pointer, but if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, that's mm-hmm. the parking level. And there's a room just right there. Yes, thank you. That mm-hmm. is intended for the trash collection.
So the trucks will come in, load there, and then exit the building?
My understanding is that garage door will open up during trash collection day. And I think it's very similar to Vela or some of the other residential buildings where the trash collector comes. And I think they are set out in the alley and then the trash collector pushes them back into their enclosure after.
Do you know exactly where they are going to be set out? Or did you design that or accommodate?
There's been some conversations about that located along that alley.
I'm Dan Walkler. I'm one of the principals of Coeur d'Alene Group. We'll open the door. The trash collectors will wheel out the canister, dump the canister, and wheel it back in if they're not a compactor unit. So effectively, if we stay out of the compactor units, which 26 units should be well under the need for, they can service this location up to 6 days a week. So
where are they going to be wheeled out? What's the area? What area?
The alleyway. The alleyway is where they collect the
garbage. So the entire alleyway is going to be, how many containers are you planning to have in this space?
There should be two serviced, you know, 2 to 3 times a week for the residential. And then the retail has two more canisters that would be off the west side there.
Okay. Thank you. As part of the DRC, the board has to approve the final design of the lobby. Do you have an enlarged plan of the lobby that we can take a look at in order to review the that portion of the building?
No, we don't have an enlarged plan. All that we have is what you see there on the screen, also that bottom left image. It is minimal, really only to allow enough space for the mailbox collection for the owners of the building. And then otherwise it's access to the elevator and the stairwell and maybe a chair or two for visitors. But what you see there is the proposed size and essentially the layout, because it is mostly circulation to the vertical elements.
Would it be possible to get enlarged plans of those? It's just that it's very hard to read the plans.
Sure, sure.
Especially since they are a little bit pixelated.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Could you just explain the sidewalk configuration? This is also required to be approved by the DRB. I just want to get an understanding on what you guys are proposing there. What's the extent of the pavers? To what extent they are going to go into the sidewalk? If there are any enlarged plans of that, that would be great.
We only have the plan. So the full 12 to 13 feet will be concrete. We won't have pavers along the frontage. It'll just be concrete. It'll be scored concrete with a texture and potentially an integral color within that band up against the building, then that 5 feet. So what isn't shown on this graphic is the extension of that paving pattern across the sidewalk.
Do you have the specific finish of the pavers or what type of paver?
The paving?
Yeah.
It'll be a broom finish in the city sidewalk portion.
And on the private portion?
On the private portion, we're proposing, you know, like a light sandblast. It's a top cast finish technically, but it has the effect of a kind of a sandblast. So it's gives a little bit of a richness to it, brings out the aggregate.
Is that the only paver material that you're proposing, or is there going to be any other?
Right, nope. Now, that's it.
Okay.
And there may be variations within that, you know, depth-wise, but that's the intent.
You're saying that will be pavers or just
no, it will be concrete. It will be concrete with a, okay, so with, concrete a sidewalk, with a texture.
With a different texture than what the
exactly
city, the sidewalk is. Oh.
All right. Mm-hmm. Going back to the building, thank you very much. Going back to the building, there are some extrusions or some voids that have a soffit, especially where the plaza area is. I didn't identify the material for the soffit or for any of the soffits along the street. Could you talk about that?
Yes, the soffits, which the best illustration is this one here at the mm-hmm. Northwest Plaza, which would be the material in the middle lower there, which is mm-hmm. the composite material, and that's proposed for all of the exterior soffit areas.
Okay, and this is a great shot. So it seems that the building is modulated and it has some horizontal bands that run across the building. What are those bands? What's the material, the finish?
Yeah, it's going to be a metal, and it is the finish that is
the center. And it has at the top some sort of ornament, or is that a flashing that is just coming?
It probably will be a flashing, but it is intended to have almost like a C-channel profile.
Mm.
But it won't be a C-channel. It'll be made of a brake metal shape.
Mm. Okay.
What's your window frames?
They're vinyl, black vinyl.
Black vinyl, mm-hmm. Okay.
All of them are black?
Correct, except, yeah, the storefront will be a black storefront, and then all of the residential windows are black vinyl.
Mm. For the balconies, I saw that the intent is to have glass, but it also has some top rail and correct. Some
yes.
Posts.
Yes.
Could you talk about more about that?
Sure. And I do, there is a photo as well in the finish package. Oh, yes. If you look at item number 13,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're proposing. For
What is the material of the top rail and the finish?
We're thinking that will be a metal railing. Oh, black aluminum.
Okay. And for the south, I think it's southeast corner of the building where it's curved. Are you going to provide curb glass as well for those panels?
It'll probably be faceted, mm-hmm. a faceted element.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have an, well, I know that the applicant is seeking for an upper story setback reduction. Could you show us on the screen here what is the area that is encroaching into the setback?
Yes. So if you look at the upper right floor plan,
mm-hmm.
there's kind of it looks like a pinkish or grayish shaded area,
mm-hmm.
and that's the extent of the encroachment.
And what is the reason behind that?
Well, it's a combination. We did feel like we wanted to provide a plaza area from an architectural standpoint. It provides that modulation and articulation of the building. And the idea of using that plaza area, because the site has its constraints.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could use that plaza area for this area on the top floor, that was our reasoning for the process here.
Okay. I was reading the notes that we received, and it says that buildings above second story should utilize upper story setbacks. A rigid stair step or wedding cake approach to upper stories is not appropriate. To me, this seems that it's a rigid line across the entire upper story setback. Is there an opportunity to have some of them continue on the same line, but some others to be on a different line?
Do you mind clarifying your question?
So the memo indicated that there that a rigid stair step or wedding cake approach, basically whenever you step back the building, is not appropriate. The line that you're carrying throughout, it's a rigid line. At least how I perceive it. It's a very continuous line that you're carrying across that step back. How did you comply, or how do you think you comply with this code requirement?
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as a wedding cake set or wedding cake style arrangement. I think we are providing a lot of articulation, especially that peaked roofline element helps to kind of provide a little bit more visual interest there. So I feel like that's how we are addressing some articulation and modulation along that top floor.
So, okay, I get the point. Now, if you go back to your first floor, the plaza area, do you have a comparison between the area that is being proposed for the plaza and the area that is proposed to be encroaching into the setback? Feels to me that the plaza is...
Yeah, what we do have is on, let's see here. Looking at the top illustration, which shows the plaza area and the number one, and then to the left of the number one is our calculation. So the plaza area is about 343 square feet. We multiply that by the three levels to get the 1,029 square feet. And that's the space that's used on the upper floor. Encroachment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it seems that you just multiply it by three and that's what you can encroach.
Correct.
Into.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I have a question about this is for staff. So in the memo that we received, there's a note that says that the plaza area, and it's quoted as excluding area for sidewalk dedication. What is a sidewalk? Are the ramps or circulations identified as sidewalks? It doesn't say public or private, it just says sidewalk.
Let's see here. Sorry, so you're looking at the design guidelines. So there's kind of two pieces to here. There's the zoning code section, which says each square foot of additional building area proposed within this setback is offset with an additional square foot of public open space, including area required for sidewalk dedication at the street level. So that's the piece here.
I was just looking at the memo that, the package that we received. Let me just pull it up.
Yeah, so that's the analysis that we provide. So it talks about that they're offsetting it with that because they get to count that space as three times.
Okay, so the central way upper story setback and item 3-A, it says each square foot of additional building area proposed within the setback is offset with an additional square foot of public open space, excluding area required for sidewalk dedication at the street level.
Okay, so we just you wanted them to confirm that the sidewalk dedication is not included in that calculation.
Right? I'm just wondering if the ramp, as it is not being used as a plaza, it's more used as circulation from the parking lot to the public right of way, is considered a sidewalk or?
Oh, are you talking in the northwest corner?
Northwest.
If I can comment.
So the northwest corner does.
If I can comment on that. So the northwest plaza is not at all included in the calculation for the upper story setback. Because the northwest plaza is covered. So it is only the central plaza, which is open and not covered, is the 343 square feet. And that's the calculation that is offsetting the encroachment.
So it's a central plaza that is placed at the center of a building facing Central Way?
Correct, yeah.
The one that is accounting for the reduction, that, right?
Correct, yes.
And how is this plaza activated?
It's an open area and it has some seating area, some built-in seating areas, some landscaping, and it is an open area where the retail could potentially spill out into that space, which was something that we feel will be a great amenity for that retail tenant.
So the other plaza that is located on the northwest is not part of any basically reduction request or
anything? That's correct, yes. It's a plaza that we have added because we feel it brings some vibrancy and some articulation to that corner and invites the pedestrian into that corner, but it is not anything that we're using to gain something else on the building.
Thank you very much for clarifying. Last question. For the South Alley, the area where you have the concrete, or I guess the concrete board form finish, how does that address blank wall treatments? I know that you have some fenestrations that also serve as ventilation for the parking lot, but the rest of it looks like an open canvas for someone to go and paint or do some graffiti there. I don't think that that meets the blank wall treatment, so I would like to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, our thoughts were to provide something that's visually appealing and interesting, and so that's why we introduced those vertical elements and the lighting elements. We feel that that brings something that is interesting to the alley side of the facade.
Okay. And just for the soffits that are shown in the image on the left, where are those soffits all the same material that we saw there?
That is the plan. I don't recall how wide those are. If they're too narrow, we might have to consider an alternative material. But the initial plan is to use that same soffit material throughout.
Mm. And this alley is the one that is going to be receiving the containers that are going to be staged?
Correct, yes.
How resistant are the panels, the stone panels that you guys are proposing there? If the truck comes and loads them and for any reason touches with the containers, those, how easy would it be to replace them? Or?
Yeah, so that is part of the reason for the selection of this particular material. It's very very durable. It's an engineered stone, and so it's basically they take stone elements and compact those and with a high resin to create a really, really dense material. And so the durability of the material was part of the reason for the selection.
Perfect. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, do you have any questions? Okay, I guess that we can proceed. Now it will be the time for the audience to make any comments or questions regarding this project. Staff, do we have a list of folks that are... Okay. All right, I'm going to go through the list, and whenever you are called, could you please state your name, address, and talk about whatever you want to bring up. Paul Price.
Paul Price, I'm speaking for Park Lane Gallery. It's 130 Park Lane, and our concerns or the alley. It's, as it is now, two trucks can get by, a garbage truck and a delivery truck. As the proposal goes, you're either going to have a delivery truck or a garbage truck at some point. And those forces are going to butt heads. And you never know what's going to happen then. The other concern is safety. If a garbage truck is in there, or delivery trucks, fire engines and ambulances can't get in. It's just going to create a lot of blockage. And that's our concerns. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Next person is Deb Klein. Okay, Deb, thank you. Lisa Berison.
I'm Lisa Berenson. I live in Kirkland. And I think from the last time I saw the preliminary design of this building has come a long way. I think the finishes are appropriate because the whole concept was not to make this building look large. By using the color palette and the materials, it visually scales down what this building is. And I think their attention to the different type of lighting is going, just between the lighting, the landscaping, the green roof, I think that where this project is right now has met the requirements that the design review board has asked for or questioned in prior meetings. I think this is going to be a great building. The only thing that I also have issues with is the ramp outside, because I have designed other buildings where the ramps are inside the parking area to get people outside so that the patio or whatever you want to call it really is more usable and is more open. By having those ramps there, it just breaks it up. And I do agree that there might be another way to get those ramp into that public space better utilized or studied more, because that ramp can be longer if it needs to be. I've done it in buildings in downtown Seattle where the ramp is inside so that it's more open and more useful. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Lisa. Tony, do we have anyone else?
It looks like we do have somebody online that has a, so anybody that's listening online, if they would raise their hand, virtual hand, if they would like to speak. It does look like we have somebody initial CT that has raised their hand to speak.
Go ahead. Unmuted. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. We hear you. Thank you.
I'm Curtis Thompson. I live in a building directly across the street from the U.S. Bank property, as it was once known. And we were and still are customers of U.S. Bank. But for 25 years, I've viewed that piece of property as a serious eyesore. It's design, maintenance, and whatever. Therefore, a reasonable and nice-looking modern replacement redevelopment is definitely something I support. I appreciate very much the board's focus on things like what has been called a plaza. I support the statements about the transition for people from the parking area on the ramp through the plaza is an issue. And I appreciate the fact that there's a recognition that it's not known what will happen to the adjacent parking lot. And altogether, and wrapping it up, I really trust and I really hope that the design review board and the developer will iron out what I view as relatively important and yet minor issues that have been discussed this evening. I would be very disappointed to find out that there wasn't a way to move forward with this project again within all of the scope of the zoning and other regulations. But I really hope it goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else?
I don't see anyone. Katie, do you see?
Nope.
Thank God.
All right.
We do have one additional person.
Hi, good evening, and forgive me for not signing in. My name is B. Nayon, downtown resident for almost 30 years, and I do live also, just as Mr. Thompson, I live across the street. One of the questions that came up as you were looking at the blocking, et cetera, was about the building to the north and how that aligned with this one. And it's actually very comparable, as you'll see in the, I'm sure you've seen in the packet. You know, there's three stories and then it also cuts back. So it actually lines up very nicely with the design that the applicant has submitted. I've been watching this project from the beginning. I'm really pleased with how responsive the applicant has been to the requests of the DRB and following every bit of what I can tell the downtown design guidelines. I really can say that, as well as the zoning code. And I hope we can move forward expeditiously with this project. And I also trust that the city will work with the applicant and the retail neighbors on Park Lane to mitigate the issues that the gentleman from the Park Lane Gallery raised, because the success of those businesses is also very important to the livelihood and the life of downtown. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now's the time for anyone who wants to speak on this project. If not, we'll move and continue with deliberation. All right, there being none, let's go ahead and jump into deliberation. If any of the board members want to start, that'd be great.
Carlos, I thought we got two email comments. Do we want to discuss those?
We can bring them up during deliberation.
Okay.
So now that you brought it up, Supriya, do you want to just talk about the email comments first, and then we can...
No, I don't have the email comments. I thought we should bring them up so that everybody sees them. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, typically we forward those on to the board for their consideration. But yes, we did receive a comment from Scott Kakuda. He brought up three items, that the new building is much higher than the existing buildings, and had some questions on potential loss of light and privacy for neighboring properties, setback reduction. He's had some concerns with that, and then and potential and traffic impacts. So that's what he brought up in his letter. And then Debbie Klein had some concerns about the sloped roof structure being considered a peaked roof, and attached some pictures associated with them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tony. Having heard the comments that we received online, does anyone want to start the deliberation with discussions? Shannon, you want to start? And just as a reminder, tonight we'll go through different items such as massing, vertical modulation, blank wall treatment, rooftop design, fenestration patterns, roofline treatments, and some of the other topics that we just discussed tonight.
You want me to go in that order?
However you want.
Yeah, I guess I would say I think that the overall design is... Oh. I'll just lean in closer. It's on. Thank you. I would speak in support of the overall design. I think the fenestration is done beautifully. I appreciate the materials palette. Also, as noted in the public comments, for scale, like introducing human scale to the property, I feel like it has been
very successful presentation in that regard. My concerns are, you know, really more on the plaza and the safety concerns, which I, is it appropriate to ask for the staff remarks about accessibility in the alley from a safety and emergency perspective?
John, Tony, I know that the fire department will do the review of the project as well. Are there any comments, or has this project received any comments regarding truck studies or just traffic studies, the alley area? I know there are so many comments about safety and how busy that alley might be.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at right now. So as part of the packet, there was a attachment or comments from the fire department. Let me see if they had anything regarding the alley.
Well, Tony's looking that up. So in general, so this part of the process, there's going to be a environmental review, which will include a review of the transportation impacts, accessibility, circulation, traffic safety, including the alley. And I know the applicants already met with the business owners, I think at least once, and we're planning to meet with them again. So we're meeting in coordination with Public Works, because it's, as one of the, as B mentioned, it's a really important issue that we need to work out for the safety of that alley, not only for the access for the residents, but also the business owners in that area. So it's not a done deal at this point. There's still gonna be more meetings, but we can certainly provide an update.
Thank you.
At a future meeting.
Yep. Thank you, Tony.
So yeah, I'd looked at the fire department comments. There was no comments regarding the alley. I mean, my assumption is they're assuming that the alley will be accessible.
Right.
And that's obviously something that, like John mentioned, that yeah. we'll work through with the Public Works Department, the applicants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Shannon, just the other departments will do the review of different code requirements. The purpose of this meeting is to review projects with consistency with the design guidelines. So materials, massing, all those type of things fall under our responsibility. Do you want to continue?
I'm in support of what we were presented with tonight. And my only, I guess, lasting concern is the maneuverability through that Northwest Plaza.
Okay.
Ramp location. Yep.
Yeah. Seems that the plaza is going to get a lot of comments, Northwest Plaza. Randall, Supriya.
I think the project is a great representation, and it's the first project in the rebuilding, I guess you could say, of downtown. When you started looking at what is allowed by code and what, you know, what will and can happen, and that, and I mean, my initial look at this was whether or not the color palette was too light. But when you look at all the buildings that are on the north side of the street, right across from the baseball field and that type of thing, and you look at Voda and some of these others, they all went to a dark palette. And then when you get onto the north side of the building, they're just darker and that. And so I think this one, and the comment from the audience, was that it lightens up the building, and it really starts to really set it back and not be a huge center of attention, but enough of it there that it feels that it's there. So I, you know, I like it on the, you know, the north side of this is going to stay in shade most of the time. But when you do get light on it, you're going to see the shade and shadow. And that's going to be the articulation on the building as far as the northwest and south elevations, I think, is fantastic. I think the way that the panels are, there's no really strong, I mean, it's kind of interesting. There's a repetitive nature to it, but it's not the same panel and same element along. So there's kind of a neat aspect to this that is not, that we aren't finding in other projects here in downtown. And that, and so I do like that. I do question, you know, the retail space across there is kind of designed, the main retail space is to kind of a single tenant aspect. And it's just that Northwest Plaza. It's just there's too much to rampway solution there that I think needs to be looked at. If there's a way to combine those two ramps into one and make it work that way, I don't know. But I'd recommend that the applicant take a look at that particular aspect of it. And then, again, do whatever they can to keep the vertical aspect of the ceiling or the roof structures as low as they possibly can. I know we say that you can go to 10 foot 10, but in those small spaces up there, do you really need to be 10-10? That's, you know, would be a question that I would ask. I like the roof deck and the green space and that type of thing for the residents to the north side of the street and going up the hill. You aren't looking at a standard roof product and that. And so that, I think that's fantastic. I support the project as far as the setback, using the square footage down into the plaza at the entry of the retail and the residential. I don't see a problem of giving the extension of 5 feet. The bay depth of the retail on the first floor, where we're, you know, it's an average, I think, 30 feet, and they're asking for 25. I think right now the calculations that come out to be like 28 and a half, I think, is that was in the packet. And so, you know, I think they shouldn't push it narrower down. I'd hate to see them go down to the 25 all, you know, build the number to that, because they'd build it into the parking. I would assume they'd keep it in the retail at that point in that. But your question in regards to the design review or the guidelines that talk about wedding cakes and step backs, I think about the only way you can explain it is all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. And so all wedding cakes are step backs, but not all step backs are wedding cake. Yeah, you can take that where you like go, but I just look at a wedding cake as it's just a continuous same step all the way. And where we're talking about step backs is that we've got three stories of essentially a front facade. The first floor sets back under, but then it's that top setback that, as the applicant was showing us in the three-dimensional, and as you got closer to the building and more down eye level, that whole fourth floor just disappeared. And the building vernacular, even at that particular point, really looks nice. You don't need the fourth floor to really look good. And so, and same thing on the east end or the west end, you can be down kind of next to the building, not see the top aspect of it, and it still looks nice. So I think I would recommend that we move forward with it.
Okay. What do you think about blank wall treatments?
The which one?
Blank wall treatment.
When you get in the back alley where they've got the vertical strips, and I think if they stay with those as a lit vertical strip, even at night, so that there's light in that alley, in that alleyway, it's going to become a pedestrian throughway. I mean, if you go to south to the Vila and the retirement center, and you just look at that alley and how it's used, and at nights and evenings as people are moving around downtown, I think it worked very well. I think the biggest aspect of blank wall on this project is really the east elevation, which how many years that will be visible, I don't know. But I think with the horizontal lines running through it and the vertical balcony aspects of it, I think from a large perspective, that breaks that up. And so it's just not a solid wall, but at the first level, those vertical recesses with some lid or some hell are they going to do that. It's actually kind of nice. There's really a kind of nice design on that.
Okay. Supriya, you want to go next?
Sure. I think the applicant really addressed the massing and fenestration comments we had from last meeting, so I'm really pleased with that. I think, and I agree with a lot of comments that Randall made about the project overall fitting into this area of downtown. I think my main comment really is about the color, because I see at least six shades of gray, and we live in Seattle, which is gray, that you would have an accent color. Doesn't have to be a lot. Could be a warmer gray, could be a cooler gray, which is more towards a blue, to provide some accent to this building. I mean, the massing is so nicely done with the different balconies and fenestrations popping in and out, that adding a little color, maybe it is to break up the stories, maybe it is just at that vertical highlight to at the vertical element that you have in the center of the building. Somewhere it just feels, when I look at it, it's so monochromatic. There's no real color, just gray and maybe a little bit of beige on that north facade. That was really my main comment. I think there are different materials. It will be interesting to see if there is any color in the landscape pavement, where the sidewalk versus the plaza or the front portion of the building. I know you talked there's textural difference, but I didn't see anything with color. So I think that was really my main comment, is having some color to the building. Doesn't need a lot. I think there's a lot of texture that they have provided in their proposal. I agree with that, but too many shades of gray. I really didn't have any issues with increasing the depth from that 25 feet to 30. I think that's, considering how narrow that lot is.
The plaza,
of course, and I said that my first comment was that plaza really is not functioning as a plaza. It's really a circulation space right now. So I think that really needs to be looked at. And this is the Northwest Plaza area. If that's the space that people are going to come out from the parking area, and also you going to be used as maybe an entry to the retail or steps coming out, it may not really function as a plaza.
And for the plaza that they are providing as a reduction in exchange?
In the front?
Yeah.
I think it was not clear to me how much seating there is. I saw some of the elements which had fixed seating, which I think would help make it more of a public space if there was fixed seating rather than the metal chairs and metal tables, which might be more something that if there's a restaurant or something that they would provide that.
And I think that they saw in the one of the plans that there were two fixed benches. And I don't know if the applicant can just step in and just talk a little bit about it.
There is fixed seating and it's meeting the plaza requirements. There is a specific amount of seating that's required for that plaza size and we're meeting it and it's fixed.
Thank you.
I think that should cover that area.
Okay. Any other comments, concerns, thoughts?
Just curious if there is any thought of going for any LEED or sustainability points on this building. I know you have a green roof, but any thoughts on any certification or?
I guess that this is just a question for the applicant. If you have considered any of the sustainability certifications, such as LEED or any other? Okay. That works.
I would say to answer that, the building systems themselves are kind of a big part of that. So it's a beast all on its own.
Okay, thanks. And Shannon, I think I'm just going back to the questions. Are you in support of the reduction of the debt for the retail spaces? Okay. I think I just said that also in favor of just the setback, the upper story encroachment into the setback for the plaza. Okay. I guess that it's my turn. I think that the applicant has provided more information addressing our concerns from the previous meeting that we held. My two biggest items is the Northwest Plaza. I think that we talked about this a lot, switching the ramp. I believe that the configuration that it's currently there is not gonna bring any people into that plaza, not gonna activate it. It's mostly gonna be a corridor for people trying to leave the parking lot. It's a nice feature. I mean, it's the only area that is gonna get sun, because as Randall said, this building is facing north, and I believe that only during the afternoon this area will receive some sunlight. So at least I would just recommend the applicants to take a look at the plaza again, the Northwest Plaza. There might be a way of relocating that ramp inside the building if possible, more close to the parking lot, and basically giving the plaza back to the same pedestrian level area instead of having it a little bit secluded with some stairs and a ramp. I think that breaks a lot of the continuity of the space, the flow. I get why you guys are placing it there. It's very convenient to just get out of the parking lot through that plaza. But I think that it would be more successful if the ramp can be redesigned and just maybe relocated in some portion of the interior. The other one that I have is the blank wall treatment. I understand what Randall said about the different openings that continuous concrete wall has. At night, it's going to be nice because it's going to glow from the interior. But during the day, you are going to see a lot of the actual finish. You are going to see a lot of the wear and tear that area is going to receive. I believe that the city of Kirkland worked for a previous applicant providing art, some murals on the walls. I think that would be actually nice and would bring a lot of more uniqueness to the space. You currently have those walls. The facade on the east might be redeveloped by another building and covered eventually. but probably just providing some art mural there might help just making it more easy, and you don't need to cover that. There are several ways that you guys can do it. Totem Lake, they did it very nicely to cover the trash collection area with a roll-up door that had some art on it. So I would just recommend the applicant to reconsider that. The plaza, I'm in favor of the reduction of the depth for the retail spaces. I understand the constraints of the space, and I do acknowledge that you are working in a very compressed lot. So I think that would be beneficial if you get that reduction. And for the applicant seeking the upper story setback reduction, I would like to see more plaza activation for the main plaza that you are looking at the center of the building. Currently, I think that Supriya said it correctly. It's just a area of transition, walking in and out of the space. Maybe rethinking the landscaping, integrating it more, could break the areas and make it feel, instead of being a corridor, more than a plaza, providing some spaces assigned for sitting, but that are not right in front of people just walking in and out, because it's going to get busy once you develop that, or someone moves in, the tenant moves into the retail space. And I think that if there's a chance to just bring the northwest area to the level of the sidewalk, it will help if you subdivide the retail space. It's a quite large space, the one that you guys have there, the main retail space on the west. And just looking at other projects, the one that we have in front of the baseball park, it used to be a pharmacy or drugstore, and now it's been empty for a year and a half. It's a huge space, and I don't think that anyone has either the money or the interest to take it. And the other smaller spaces have been occupied. That's the only large piece that seems to be empty. So I'll recommend just probably thinking or considering that if you are going to subdivide the space. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
That space is currently designed to either be one or multiple spaces. It can be subdivided as it stands.
Okay. Yep.
That would just depend on the tenant mix.
Right. But yeah, you'll need to, I guess, use the ramp to, if you subdivide it as a means of egress or the other space. Anyways, I'll leave it up to you guys, but just want to say that I think that the Northwest Plaza would benefit from a major redesign on how it's currently shown, and the main plaza would benefit for trying to integrate more design features rather than just being a transition space for people to walk in and out with some benches on the side. But other than that, I think that I would not find any issues to move for approval on this. So with that being said, I think that the majority of the board believes that the project has complied with the design guidelines and that we can move for approval.
I was hearing that you were requesting some additional
recommendations,
additional information. So, I think what I've heard is the board is general in favor of the design, but we're looking for some more design details for the next meeting. So I think we should discuss with the applicant continuation to a future.
Yeah, there are some other items that I brought up during the my QA round that are related to the I wrote it down here, that are related to the plaza areas and large plans section of where the canopies are. I think that the applicant showed some compliance with the weather protection. But do we have, or does the city has any records of that? It's just that it's hard to look in the PDFs if the information is.
Yeah, so I think maybe let's kind of I can kind of go through a list that I've kind of made of what I've heard that the board would like to see for the next meeting. We can clarify that, and then if we're good, then we can work with the applicant on a meeting date. So yeah, so what I heard during your discussion was providing first to start with the detail plans for the plaza, for the plazas. First, you'd like to explore the relocation of the ramp in the Northwest Plaza and provide, again, more detailed plans showing seating areas, landscaping, that kind of thing. Additionally, for the central plaza area, is looking at providing a detailed plan, but then looking at design features, including landscaping, seating, and paving materials. And then as far as the treatment of the blank wall along the south facade, look at incorporating either a mural or some kind of other artistic elements into that facade to kind of to help activate that a little bit. I did hear as far as weather protection, providing a specific weather protection calculation, also providing detailed plans for the sidewalk design and layout and how that works and the transitions between the public and private spaces. And then I did also hear a little bit more just making sure that the plans, especially like for the railings for the decks and that kind of thing, making sure the details are provided for those.
Yeah, they get into the package that we approve, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
what's that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then Supriya mentioned bringing up some color highlights, looking at maybe adding some little variety on the, especially on the north side. Is there anything else that I missed?
Or do you have a, okay. I acknowledge that there's a member of the audience that wants to speak. Can you step to the front?
Why can't this project be approved now with knowing that they're going to do these things, which technically go into a more DD type study? And also, as far as the mural idea goes, have you ever been to Boise, Idaho? Okay. Once you allow one mural on the side of a building, it takes on a whole other character. And before you know it, you have a million buildings with all kinds of murals on the walls of the exterior buildings. Nothing's cohesive. They have areas where you're walking and there's graffiti art here and there's this kind of art. It's like overload of exterior murals. And the reality is the mural is going to look like it just came from nowhere. And there's no other buildings in Kirkland that have murals. And the reality is that the train store is no longer going to be there for much longer. And it's just like everybody's saying, eventually, that's all going to go away. And I hate to tell you about the building down the street that was designed by Seacrest. I forget what it's called, with the whatever. I hate the design of that building. There's nothing interesting about the facade. And this building by far is going to set an amazing precedence for downtown Kirkland. I am so sick and tired of seeing you know, bits of pieces. Everything looks the same on that side. You know, you have restaurant, then you have the building designed by Seacrest, which I hate. Then over by where you're talking about the library, you have another multifamily that Seacrest designed that has, there's no undulation there. It's brick and all these other stupid things. This building is going to stand out like a beacon of what downtown Kirkland is going to be. I say approve it with these, whatever you want to call it.
Thank you, Lisa. Board members, what do you think? There are some pieces of information that are missing, that, which is what we typically see. And it's part of the design review board information that we approve.
Okay, you're saying, can we approve with conditions? And then it's just a matter of putting those conditions together.
I'm not saying that, but Tony, can we do that?
Yeah, my initial thought is the some of these items are something that we don't have specifics on, especially the plaza design. I think that is really something that we need to look at the design guidelines and kind of guidance for that. And I'm not sure that's something that that we can make that a condition.
Right.
I think it's really, some of those details, while they're minor, I think it is something that we need the board's guidance on.
So my thought on this is that the applicant seems that it's going in a good path. They have our feedback. I would like to ask the applicant if you guys would be able to put together a package with this information. And I guess that it's up to, the next meeting, just to take a look at that, if there's opportunity just to review this. It would be pretty easy just to cover this, as we have gone through the majority now.
And on the next meeting, can it be specific to those items?
Yes.
That are requested?
It's gonna be
so we don't revisit
those items.
A bunch of stuff. Okay. Yeah, we'd be fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess that there will be then a motion to continue this. This would mean that there will be a motion to continue this meeting based on the comments that Tony presented tonight regarding the missing items that the board requested. I think that you can talk about that with the list that you put together, Tony, but based on that, we'll move to continue this meeting, right?
Yeah, so I guess the one thing would be that typically, so we have the next meeting would be November 4th. Typically, we put out a packet a week beforehand. Would the board be all right with the applicant just presenting that packet at the meeting? Bringing that packet to the meeting,
is that allowed?
Is that
given the nature of the packet,
yeah,
and as minor as I guess we could say it is, I think that would be. But is that,
well,
with citizen,
the question is, would the board want a staff report on it, or if it's okay, what we'll probably need is just several days so we can get it posted online,
yeah,
and then distributed, so you at least have the weekend to look it over.
Yeah.
But we'd want to just confer with the applicant, just make sure the timing works for them.
So we have the 4th and then the 18th. Okay. Do you want to step? That way we get you on the record.
I mean, I think the 18th is probably the appropriate timeline, because I think it gives us a week and a half to sort out the specific requests and get the packet together.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like the applicant would like to have it continue to November 18th. Meredith, does your team have any questions related to the items?
I did want to speak to the trash. I know it came up a couple different times. So I want to make sure you're aware there will be trash canisters in the alley. they won't be from our building, but there are multiple businesses that are served from that. So just be aware, it won't be an empty alley.
We got to pick them off one at a time.
You're first.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that we have a date for that. So I guess as a staff, do you have all comments clear at this point?
Yeah. We'll work with the applicant on addressing.
Okay. So would anyone would like to make a motion to continue this meeting to November 18? Is that correct?
Correct.
I make a motion that we continue this.
I second that.
Design review until November 18th.
Moved and second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Motion carries to continue this meeting on November 18th. Thank you very much to the applicant for staying with us tonight. And thanks to the members of the public as well.
And I make a motion, we adjourn.
We just have to go through some administrative.
It's really quick.
Really quick. So I'll turn it to the.
Yeah. It's really just that our next DRB meeting on November 4th, we'll have a conceptual design conference for a project in 85th Street. So one of the form-based codes, first form-based code project will be coming your way.
Okay.
This is 85th and 128th.
Yeah. Yes, the old Crescent Lighting set.
Yeah. Okay. Do you need to attendance for that or
just put on your calendars and then we'll call all around the week before.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
Is that the station area guidelines?
Correct.
Oh, yes.
All right. I think that we don't have anything else in the agenda. So anyone would like to suggest adjournment?
Actually, one more thing, Carlos. Just
yep.
Wanted to welcome Shannon for her first meeting.
Welcome, Shannon. Okay. Now to the point. Okay. Anyway.
You're gonna make the motion, I'll second.
Move on second. Those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed. We are adjourned. Thank you very much and see everyone in the next meeting. Have a good night.